Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we'd like for you to do what we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant that one of us may sit on your right hand and the other on your left hand when you come into glory." And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I will drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" They said, "Yes, we can do that." Jesus said, "You will drink the cup that I have drunk, or I will drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not me to grant, but it's for the one for whom it has been chosen." Now, when the other 10 heard what these two had asked, they were angry. So Jesus called them all together and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and those who are great among them are tyrants over them. But it shall not be so among you. Those who want to be great among you must be the servants of all. And those who want to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. You did a good job of lighting the candles. And didn't even start the place on fire. That's fantastic. That's always good. Hey, you know what this is, right? It's a dollar bill. Now, there's a little trick here. Maybe you can see this. If you turn this way, you see his frown?
Yeah.
But if you turn it this way, what's he doing? Mm-hmm. Smiling. So it all depends upon how you look. Can you see that? There's a frown there. And if you look it up this way, it's a smile. But you know, sometimes it looks like it's really great to be on top, but it's not always good to be at the top. Sometimes it's better to be at the bottom. And Jesus tells James and John that, okay, you want to be big and great and have the first place? Well, then you're going to have to suffer. It's not always good to be at the top. Sometimes it's better to be on the bottom. So Jesus gives us the opportunity to serve. Do you guys do any serving?
Yeah.
Do you?
Go to church.
Go to church? Okay. Do you ever help with the shoe boxes? Yeah, do you? Are you going to help with the Christmas thing?
I don't know.
You don't know? Maybe you could help serve tables or something like that? There are always ways that we can serve and help others. And so maybe we could look at George Washington here when he frowns, frowning at those people who never do any serving, but when he turns it up this way, he says, "Ah!" And maybe that's Jesus smiling at us too. Shall we say thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, for calling us to be your servants. Bless us so that we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a friend who needed to have his car fixed, and he had seen in this town that he passed through a sign that said Automotive Mechanics, and then it had under it Dexter Arnold, proprietor. And he decided he had had mechanics work on his car before, and they didn't do a whole lot of good for it. So this time he was going to go right to the top. So when he walked in, this mechanic came to meet him. He had on greasy overalls. His hands were greasy, and he was wiping his hands on another greasy rag. It had been obvious, he had streaks of grease on his cheeks. It was obvious that he had been down there in the pits working like everybody else. And so my friend said, I'd like to speak with Mr. Arnold. The guy smiled and said, that's me. He may have been the owner and the proprietor of that, but he was also right down there in the pits with the rest of them doing the hard stuff, which is what you and I are sometimes called to do. And sometimes it would seem like we'd rather be at the top. One of the people that I really admire was Albert Schweitzer. Albert Schweitzer, I don't know if you know his story, but Schweitzer had degrees from three different universities. He had a degree from a university in Strasbourg, from Berlin, and another one in Paris. He was a theologian. He was an ordained Lutheran pastor. He had written several books. On top of that, he was an incredible organist, much in demand for concerts. He had also composed a number of organ pieces that were really really great. And at one point he was teaching as a professor at the university, Mont Blanc University in Strasbourg. And while he was there, he became aware of the colonialism, the European colonialism in Africa. And his heart began to ring for the people down there who were so downtrodden. And he found that they needed medical help down there a great deal, or over there. And so he went back and got another degree in medicine so that he could go into Africa and serve in the sweaty, hot jungles of Africa, helping the people who really needed. Schweitzer is an example of one who pinned his ideas of what was good servanthood on his master, Jesus Christ. He also looked to the suffering servant in Isaiah and realized that Jesus fit all of that in every way. That we are called upon to be the servants of Christ, just as he came into our world, emptied himself, and became obedient, as Paul tells us in Philippians, even becoming a slave and giving his life in sacrifice for us. In our gospel today, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come to Jesus with a request. Now, it might be helpful to understand where they've come from. In the Gospel of Mark, they were with Jesus when he heard that John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, had been beheaded. That's the beginning of Jesus' real reaching out in ministry. They were with him when he fed 4,000 people. They were with him when he healed the sick and the lame and when he cast out demons. They had seen all of this. Jesus had taken them, along with Peter, up on the mountain where Jesus was transfigured before them. And they saw Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, and Moses, the greatest of the lawgivers, with him, talking to him. And they heard the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." They've heard this. It's in their minds. They know this. Jesus brings them down to the mountain. There's some more preaching and teaching and healing goes on. And Jesus takes them then to Caesarea Philippi. We had that lesson not that long ago. Now, in Caesarea Philippi, there are these, even today, there are still the niches where they used to have all of these gods. There were hundreds of gods represented at Caesarea Philippi. Everything from the goat god Pan to the frog god, I don't know what his name was, and everything in between. People gods, animal gods, all of these were worshipped there. And right nearby is what was referred to at that time as the gates of hell. It's at this place where Jesus asks that big question. He pops the question and asks them, well, who do you say that I am? This is not just another rabbi. They know that this is the Messiah. Now, if that isn't enough, Jesus tells them three times before this passage that he is going to suffer and die and on the third day rise again. Another little thing to put in their memory. So, being good Americans like they were not, they're thinkers, they realize what's going on, and they think, huh, you know, we could make it here. Let's get Jesus to appoint us to his new regimen. Because in their minds, they are still thinking of the Messiah as coming on a white stallion with a sword to cast out all their enemies and to rule the world. And they want the positions of power. But Jesus tells them, you don't really know what you're asking for. You want to be my servant? You must be a servant. That's where the real power is. In not only being the servant, being the slave of all. If you want to be at the top, that's where we have to be. And it's a message for all of us as Christians and as a church that we're not going to be the largest church in the world. We're not going to be the most powerful people in the world. But if we are Christ's servants, we will live under his power. And what we need to do is to commit all that we are, all that we have, in service to him. Just by chance, I found a song that fits. And if you catch on to the tune, please join me. Because this is a song,
King, all that I pray, all that I'll ever make, I give to you today. Take and sanctify these gifts for your honor, Lord, knowing that I love and serve.
Servants of the servant Lord, the one who gave himself unselfishly for us, asking us to do the same for him. It always looks better at the top, doesn't it? The man who owned a great manufacturing company, excuse me, had a son. He started out in the business at the bottom, in the mailroom. And then over the period of time, moved him up into the various offices. But no matter where the son was always unhappy. He complained because he knew how to run that company. And if he were president of that company, he'd make some real changes. Well, after a couple of years, his father had a heart attack and had to back away. And the son had to take over. And all at once he discovered that now instead of an 8-hour day, he was putting in 18-hour days. And instead of being able to call all the shots and make all the changes he wanted to make, he had to complaints piled up on his desk. And after a few days of that, he said, "I can't wait for my father to get back so I can learn how to help him run this company." And maybe that's you and me in our life as we walk with Christ, that we need to learn how to walk with Christ and to help him build his church. Because he doesn't ask us to do it alone. In fact, you know what? He even gives us permission and, in fact, invites us to go right to the top. You don't have to pray to me or to one of the saints. You and I can go right to the throne of grace with all of our hopes, our dreams, our prayers. That's what God calls us to do, to go right to the top, because that's where the true answers are. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.